never forget why you are the church.
I want you to know that the reason why we are here this morning, we are not somewhere else in darkness without hope, is because Jesus came to earth, lived a perfect life, died a sinner's death, although he knew no sin, became sin so that we may become the righteousness of God. If we ever forget that, we have forgotten much. May we never take for granted the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. This morning, I know that we have the Agape Feast, or we already had the Agape Feast. By the way, I want to thank everyone that brought and all the ladies that was here early and the men setting up. I just want to thank y'all this morning for that great meal. If you don't like bacon, I don't really understand you. Amen. So we had some good food. And Matthew 26, this morning I want to take a look at possibly the most intense scene pre-Calvary we find in the Gospels. Eating the Passover meal was nothing new here. Passover is still to this day the most widely celebrated Jewish holiday. It is one of the three pilgrimage or solemn feast festivals in Scripture. The other two being the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Passover commemorates the night of the 10th plague during the Egyptian captivity. Now, that was a long time ago, but when they're taking this Passover, when the Jews to this day partake in the Passover, that is what they're celebrating. It is when those who had the lamb's blood applied to the doorpost, the Lord passed over and they were delivered from the death of their firstborn. It was so bad that Exodus 12 records that the Egyptians were in complete sorrow. Why? Well, Exodus chapter 12, verse 30 says this, "And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead." Now understand, I'm taking you through a crash course of the history of the Passover. There's a lot of details that I'm not going over, but what happened was this. God told Moses to tell the people, hey, listen, you go get a beautiful lamb, a sacrificial lamb, one without spot, one without blemish. You're going to raise this lamb. Then you're going to kill this lamb. You're going to eat of the lamb's body. You're going to put the blood of the lamb upon the doorposts. And when you do that, when the destroyer, the Bible says, comes through, that's the Holy Spirit. When he comes through, if that blood is applied, you will be delivered from death. Now, obviously, the Egyptians did not think that was going to happen. So, in other words, the blood was not applied to their doorposts. They never got a sacrificial lamb. They didn't take it seriously. And not one house was found without death. Now, I know we're getting heavy quick. But I want you to understand something. What we are about to celebrate, I'm going to say this again and again all morning. The blood being applied, maybe we don't put it on our doorpost, but God puts it upon our account. See, he paid the debt that we could not pay ourselves through the blood of Jesus. Well, what about the sacrificial lamb? Well, you do understand that Jesus was without spot, without blemish. And you say, why did the firstborn have to die? Well, you do understand the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Again, they did not have the blood applied to the doorpost. I'm telling you here today, right out of the gate, our candle's already lit. We'll keep it lit. If you're here today and you do not have the blood of Jesus applied to your account, you have not confessed with your mouth that he is Lord, believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, I'm telling you right now, death is coming. The Bible says you are condemned already. But this created in this time the way out of Egypt. what is called the Great Exodus, right? This is the backdrop of Matthew 26. This is the reason why we are here right now. Jesus and his disciples were preparing to eat the Passover meal. But then there was someone among them that we see was a poser. Now, this meal was unlike other meals. Of course, they've done it. Listen, they grew up Jewish. They have done it every year. They've done it over and over again. But for this supper, see, this was a supper that began a fast track to Calvary. So we're going to read this account, and we're going to learn how important it is that the body and the blood of Jesus was spent for us. In Matthew 26, verses 17 through 28, if you're there, say, read. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat this Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. The title this morning is very simple. I know we've already had a time examination, but I believe that sometimes we kind of just go through the motions with the Lord's Supper, go through the motions with communion, and we do this and we do that and we head out of here. I want us to understand the intensity of the situation that we're in. The impact, the weight, the heaviness of what we are about to partake in. So the title this morning is very simple. Is it I? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for our brother who has come and spoken to us. God, I thank you for the ministry that he is a part of and serves, Lord. In his testimonies, it is obvious that he has gone to most of the nations to share the word. So God, I pray that you strengthen him and help him to keep on keeping on in that. God, I pray for his family. But Lord, this morning, I pray that those that have ears to hear, may they hear. God, I pray that we self-examine and look inward, not outward, and we truly understand that the blood must be applied to our account. This is not an idea. This is not just something that we mark off the list. This is not just a devotion. This is not just something that we heard as a kid. This is the real deal. This is life or death. So allow me to preach this with power, clarity, freedom, but also love. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. We see here that the disciples asked Jesus where they were going to eat for Passover. I don't have any points this morning. We're just going to go through this text. That's what I did in my study. We're just going to go through the text together. But we see that they asked, hey, where are we going to eat for Passover? Very simple question. Very common question, nothing to really dig into there, but then Jesus responded. And in verse 18, again, if you look at it, it says this. And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. I want you to notice, my time is at hand. Jesus is speaking of his crucifixion. Jesus is saying, the reason that I am here, the reason that I was born of a virgin, the reason that I'm spotless and sinless, the reason that I've shown you God through me walking and ministering, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The reason this is happening, we're about to see. My time is at hand. Many Bible scholars put this supper on Thursday of Passion Week. So when I say that this fast-tracked the crucifixion, understand it could have been less than 24 hours later that he had died on the cross. But right now, they're just trying to get ready for Passover. Nothing to see here. But from this supper, they would head to Gethsemane. Now, we know that in Gethsemane, the reason why every time I take that cup and I look into it, I know that it's just Welch's grape juice. But understand that when he says, hey, may this cup pass from me in Gethsemane, what he was saying is that if there's any other way, understand that Jesus was fully man and fully God. You say, preacher, explain that. I can't. I'm not God. Sometimes we got to just get real with it and understand that we're not going to understand everything. But see, understand that when he's talking about that cup, and when we look at the cup and we look at this, the blood that was shed, it was a bitter cup that he had to drink, and he had to drink all of it. Why? Because it took all of him to save us. So in this supper, they could head to Gethsemane. By the way, aren't you glad that Jesus was an obedient servant of the Lord, of the Father? And he said, hey, not my will, but your will be done. From there, he would be taken and gone to multiple trials, and really, they were just sham trials. Nobody, listen to me, nobody could find any fault in him. Any judge, Pilate, they were like, I don't know why they want him dead. I can't find anything that he's done. Are you sure? As a matter of fact, they got to the point to where, hey, would you rather this criminal, this murderer, this thief, or would you rather Jesus? They said, give us the criminal. From there, he would be scourged, beat. I'm not talking about your mom or dad telling you go get a switch. I'm talking about the scourging was cords that they would put clay and glass and bone and attach it. And as they scourged him, when they tore it out, his flesh would fly everywhere. He was mocked. He was spit upon, stripped and humiliated. Church, listen. This was for us. The sins of the world. He would then be forced to carry the cross down the road called Via Dolorosa, the way of sorrow. From there, he would come to Golgotha, where he would die hanging on the cross. So when Jesus says, my time is at hand, although the disciples did not fully understand or know exactly what he was saying, we know he is speaking of his death. But you know what is so beautiful about speaking of the death of Jesus? We don't have to just continue speaking about his death, because 3 days later, he was resurrected. Amen? Look at verse 19. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Again, to the disciples, they're thinking this is just another Passover. Of course, they took it seriously, don't get me wrong, but this is what we do. We're going to have dinner. We're going to acknowledge the great Exodus. This is going to be a great, great night. But the heat gets turned up quickly. Look at verse 20 and 21. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. These were the 12 that had been with him his entire ministry. These were the 12 that he said, follow me, and they did. They've seen Jesus heal people. They have heard Jesus teach like no man has ever taught. He's sitting down eating with them and saying, hey, one of you is going to betray me. You're talking about a damper on a meal. I don't know about you, but have you ever, when you were a kid, have you ever got to the dinner table and thought you got away with something? All of a sudden, your mom or daddy says, oh, so we need to talk. That puts a damper on the meal, amen? Right here, this is much more serious than that. Talk about a statement. These guys, they're eating, they're fellowshipping, they're remembering how God delivered Israel from Egypt. Now here's Jesus, one of you shall betray me. Could you imagine the shock, the fear, the confusion that entered the room? If that was today with his followers, no doubt there would be denial and finger pointing. Oh, well, it's not me, Jesus. Absolutely not. You know what I've done for you. I've left everything to serve you. You know, in all honesty, I've kind of thought the same thing. It's probably him over there. Let me tell you a few things that he's done. We would be finger pointing. We would be trying to deflect. Now, was that the response they gave? Absolutely not. Look at verse 22. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? See, this part got me because I don't understand that. Could you imagine, I think it's very important to put ourselves in the scene to really understand. They followed him. They've defended him. When the heat was turned up on Jesus, let me just tell you something, the heat was turned up on them. Jesus says, I don't have anywhere to lay my head. I don't have it, neither did they. Through the thick and the thin, they were there. And now they're at an occasion that celebrates how God has delivered his people. And it's supposed to be a celebration, but yes, reverent, but a celebratory tone to it and an acknowledgement to it. And he sits down and they're eating and no doubt they're talking and just communing together and fellowshipping. And then all of a sudden, hey, one of you, not someone outside of here, not the people that reject me, not the Pharisees, not the scribes. One of you will betray me. You know how real the disciples were? They had to understand something. They got, but that phrase, Lord, is it I? They, instead of turning the blame to others, turned to themselves in self-examination. I want you to know the church today would do well to stop pointing at others and look within. We spend so much time obsessed with how everyone else is sinning that we neglect our own repentance. Now hear me, are we to rebuke and reprove one another? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we are to remember the fall of others in order to stay humble and prevent our own following. If you see in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 11, it says this, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And we're all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. Don't you like that? Let me just say that again. That rock was Christ. Let's move on. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened. Why? Unto them for our ensamples. And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. They all experienced the same work, the same guidance. Really, if you read the account, the same miracles. You say, what are you talking about miracles? So have you heard of manna? That's a miracle. He sent manna, enough for their daily need. Hey, don't take none for the tomorrow because it'll rot. Trust me for today and I'll take care of tomorrow as well. Right? Not only that, but hey, in the daytime they had a pillar of cloud to guide them. Listen, I'm not good with directions, but I feel like I can follow a pillar of clouds. At nighttime, look, when it got dark, you can't see the clouds anymore. You know what he did? He sent a pillar of fire. Guys, listen, they were all a part of that. All of them. Yet some rejected. This is exactly what Jesus tells them right here in verse 23 and 24 of Matthew 26. And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. I want you to know that was a little confusing in and of itself, because no doubt they all dipped their hands in it. They were all a part. They all participated. But he who would betray him was there. And for that one, it would be better if he had not been born. Verse 25, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? Master, is it I? Notice this. Notice that he said, Master. Everyone else said, Lord, is it I? But Judas says, Master, teacher, is it I? And he said unto him, this is Jesus, thou hast said it. Well, that's not fair. Why was it Judas? How was it him and not the others? Well, we actually get the answer a few verses before this text right here. If you go back a little bit to verses 14 through 16, it says right here, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. He's talking about Jesus. And they convented with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. If you really want to know the truth of the matter, Jesus sold out to the world. He chose money over Jesus. But you said, well, but we believe that if you're saved, then you can't be lost. And I say to that, amen. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That is the earnest payment, right? We have a reservation in heaven that is kept by the power of God. Listen, if God made it, then I can't break it. Does that make sense? So listen, you say, well, Judas was one of the 12. Judas was a part of it. As a matter of fact, we see that Judas was the treasurer. That's a pretty important job of a ministry, and they didn't even have much money, so what they did have needed to be kept right. So he was a part of it. But yet, he betrayed. And it would have been better for him not to be born. I want you to know today, Judas was lost. He didn't become lost on this night. Judas had been lost. He did not know Jesus as Lord. He did not testify to him as Lord. He was not giving in to his authority as Lord. He said, Master, good teacher, is it I? Knowing that it was. You say, what did he sell him for? Surely he got a good sum of money for it. I mean, this is Jesus we're talking about. He was a pretty hot situation when it comes to the controversy around them. 30 pieces of silver. According to Exodus 21, that was the redemption price paid for a slave. You might say, how could he sell so low? Well, church, hear me. It could have been all the money and possessions in the world. Nothing is worth more than Jesus. Let me declare that again to you. Nothing is worth more than Jesus. Then Judas, in verse 25, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said it. It was already said. Judas, at this point, had already betrayed him. But remember, Jesus told us that the time was at hand. He would preach another message here. And if you read verse 26 through 28, it says this, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. He's adding something new to this situation. He's adding something new to an old thing. There is special meaning to the bread and the wine. They've always had the bread. They've always had the wine. They've always partook in these same articles, these same things. But this time it was different. Now, see, the bread was his body. The wine was his blood. Jesus here introduces a new covenant. Why? It is the plan from the beginning. He would be the sacrificial lamb. John the Baptist proclaimed this early on when it fully started. John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Through this new covenant, through the shedding of his perfect spotless blood, I want you to know that we can be forgiven. Now, I want you to know, and sometimes if you've never done so, and I know that you can get, a little bit too much dip on your chip when it comes to the Greek and Hebrew. You know what I'm saying? It can get heavy real quick. But if you just look at this word remission, right, for the remission of sins, that word obviously means forgiveness, right? That would be something that we would agree on, but that's also what it means. But it holds another meaning as well. See, it also carries the meaning of release. See, Jesus came to release us from the bondage of sin. You know, it's funny how the world, there's all these people in our history who, in times of oppression, in times of war, in times of prejudice and all the things, and we can go in history and name after name and situation after situation, instead of giving in to what was going on at the time, they would take those prisoners, they would take those people that were being oppressed and in bondage, and they would release them. And we would herald these people as, man, amazing people. Think about how many people they saved, right? During the Holocaust, there were people that did that. Right? During slavery in America, there were people that did not agree, and they say, hey, come over here and then you can leave and be free. You can be released from the bondage. Nobody in their right mind would say, man, that person right there, what a scumbag. Well, what's someone who doesn't love other people? Man, no, what we do is, man, we write books about them. We teach about them. We say, this is the kind of person that we should be. But for some reason, the man who released and made possible for the release of the entire world of sin, we want to reject. I want you to know that he releases us from our bondage. But there was one present there. Judas, who was the betrayer. He sold out. Despise Jesus for earthly things. I wonder if there's anybody here. And listen, I want you to know this, and I know preachers say this all the time. And I've grown up and I've heard, various preachers that would love to manipulate and kind of coerce into thinking that you were lost, and you come in and you have assurance of salvation because you are saved, and all of a sudden you think, man, am I actually saved? Let me just tell you something. I can't stand that. I don't want to do that. And I don't want you to know that it would be very simple to come up here and get someone to respond. I'm just going to let you know, but that's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to preach the word. See, I'll sow the seed, someone else can water, and God gives the increase. It's taken me a while to truly accept that. But it has to be accepted. But I know this, that someone could be here right now today. That, man, you have sang that Jesus saves. You sang the entire gospel. That's what we did today. We sang the entire gospel. From his life to his death to his resurrection. You've heard testimony of God's word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, changing the trajectory of people's lives forever. You're hearing the word of God now and the goodness of it. And yet you still reject. You say, well, I would never betray Jesus. I want you to know something. To reject Jesus is to spit in the face of Calvary.